The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 29, Text Number 37, given by His Divine Grace Satsvrupadas Goswami Gurupad on August the 23rd, 1984, at the Gitanagari Farm.
We're being controlled by time, and time is under the control of Krishna. Time is an energy of Krishna, so time is Krishna, or nothing within Krishna. But whether you know that or not, everyone is under the control of time. So it is a great illusion to think, prakritim kriyamanani gunai karmya sarvasya ahankara viruddha prakarta hamiti manite. It is a great illusion of false ego to think that one is so powerful that he can do as he likes. He's not subject to the law of nature, the law of time. We're all under that in different ways. We're all being controlled. We are dependent on Krishna and Krishna's material energy. So whoever thinks he's independent, he's a fool. And he's actually also not independent. So in Krishna consciousness, we come to serve Krishna. And by serving Krishna, ultimately we can get out of the control of time. Otherwise, at the time of death, then we take another body, another rupa, another form. Time is changing the forms. Significant point in the purport. So time will be up, and then we will have to take another form, and that form will also be under control. The dog is under control, the insect is under control, and the human being is just as much under control, but he fancies that he's not in different ways. So in Krishna consciousness, by serving Krishna, we can get free of this. And that is not just that we're the same imprisoned state until the time of death, but even in this lifetime, you become free of the fear of time, and you become free of the control, actually, of material nature. And we voluntarily, in order to do this, we control our senses. We control the mind and don't allow them to go as they like for sense gratification. Because we know if they do, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, a wise man knows that the senses are sources of misery. He does not allow them to become stumbling blocks in his transcendental progress. We know if we let the senses be uncontrolled, then we'll fall into the clutches of Maya. It's like the moth goes into the fire. But this is also, of course, a restriction, or it is a servitude to Krishna. But it is a voluntary thing. So no one is independent. The pure devotee, he's free of the material nature, but he is controlled by Krishna. In the beginning stage, we're controlled by the rules and regulations. No illicit sex, no gambling, no intoxication. These are big, big things in the material world. But then, when you become free of these things, then it is no restriction. And you remain simply controlled by trying to please Krishna. So we should be careful, as we are struggling in Krishna consciousness, not to fall into some kind of illusion within devotional service. So one form this takes is, if a devotee thinks that he is being restricted by the rules and regulations of Krishna consciousness, or by the order of the spiritual master, and that otherwise his material situation would be freedom. This is actually what our enemies say, that somehow or other the devotees have been captured into this movement and now they should be freed. So what does the captured mean? Because they're refraining themselves from free exercise of the senses, free sex. But these are all not free things from the absolute point of view. But this is the propaganda. But if one is a devotee, he should never resent the rules and regulations. Krishna calls them in the Bhagavad Gita the regulated principles of freedom. Because by restraining himself, he's becoming free. Nayam deho deha bhajan lokikastan karman arhati vidbhujamye tapol divyam kutakayena sarvam shudya jyashman brahma sokyam tunantam. Or Rishabhadev says, become free, my dear sons. You've taken this human form of life, which is very rare. Now use it to become free, purified, and taste eternal happiness. Don't just try for sense gratification by which you'll become just like a hog. So, Krishna consciousness life is free in this lifetime from the heavy control of Maya. And we may forget how heavy that is. As I say, the illusion is that one thinks that the Krishna conscious authority, temple president or order of the spiritual master, rules of the ISKCON society, they're keeping me really under thumb, otherwise I'd be free. See, this is a great folly. This folly is not shared by anyone who has any kind of memory or experience of material life. It is so heavy, the control that everyone is under in the different forms of society, family, nation, which in so many ways a Krishna conscious devotee is free from. I was talking the other day with one devotee, initiated devotee, who does not live in the temple, and he is almost completely occupied with his job. He has a good job also, which has required much academic preparation. But there are so many difficulties, and these are everyone's difficulties, that to live in the material world. But first of all, you have to get the good job with the good education. But then, even then, it is the companies are so competing so viciously, and even if you join a big company, that company may go bankrupt, or that company may let you go. The relationship with you is precarious thing, depending on your work, and they work you very hard. So that relationship is a cause of much anxiety to perform and maintain the job. So much pressure. Who is free as a lark in his relationship with his occupational duty? So anyone who thinks that this Krishna conscious duty is oppressive, I want to be free. Where is that freedom? One has to work very hard. And he's never satisfying the master, and he's never satisfied. Then he has to find a place of occupation. So our devotee friend was telling me how difficult it is. He has to live near enough to the place of work. In that Nayam Deho Deham verse, in the purport, Prabhupada sketches this activity. He said people may say that this is not a good comparison, that Rishabhadev says don't become like a hog, because life is not like that now. Yeah, but life is like that even if you take the modern urban setting. Prabhupada describes how one has to rise very early in the morning, and he has to drive to his place of work, and or take the commuting vehicles with great endeavor. I know all the years I went to college, I would have to get up very early where my family lived. They tried to live away from the city so it would be not so hellish. Then it was hellish because we had to go into the city anyway. So I had to get up very early, then I had to take a train for half an hour, and I had to take the ferry boat for half an hour, then I had to take the subway for half an hour. I did that every day. And millions, literally, of people do that. So, and we get to think, oh, this is all right, to travel 3 hours a day in these vehicles, with packed in with thousands of people, because you have your newspaper. You can read all the horrible things elsewhere. Say, oh, it's not so bad, we don't have a war here. So this friend was saying how he was trying to find a good place to live, but the apartment he moved into was very bad. The people would stay up late at night, they'd play music, and his wife, during the day, she didn't even want to do the laundry in the building because to walk in the halls of the building, there's so many low-class people, and she was very frightened all the time, she'd never go out. So this caused him a lot of anxiety. Therefore, they decided to move. They moved to another place, and that's also a bad neighborhood. And so much anxiety he has between being at work and then coming back in the bad, the difficult endeavor to try to get enough money to live into the right place. Then his relationship with his wife and family, that's a big problem. So to think that Krishna consciousness, is actually absurd, but we know that that such absurd thinking exists in the mind of a devotee when he's in Maya. The absurdity is that devotional service is some kind of imposed condition, and material life would be nice. So yes, devotional service is imposed. But it's for the highest aims of human life, so that we can get out of this whole entanglement within the body. Within the body we are imprisoned by so many demands. There was one devotee, also I just heard recently, he was saying how his brother also joined this movement with him, but couldn't take it. After a while he left, and the other devotee stayed. But his brother, the thing that he didn't like was authority. He said, this authority trip, I can't take it. So then, years later, our devotee who stayed, he got a letter from his brother. He hadn't heard from him for a while. Now he was in the Marines. So he didn't like authority. Now he's in the Marines, where it's a million times more self-effacing, humiliated, restricted, brainwashed. And he was serving in some obscure South Sea island, and he was very unhappy. Very bold. So, this is the plight of the materialist, and it's the plight of a devotee if he is too much in Maya about having to follow the rules of the devotion. So we have to know by hearing. Yusuf Upanishad tells us that one should know the nature of nescience and the nature of enlightenment side by side, know them both by hearing about them. We can hear stories about the plight of the materialists, and also we can hear the philosophy of the plight of the jiva in life after life. We've told a few current stories, but you may say, oh, you've described some people who have some plight, lives in a bad neighborhood, some foolish person joined the Marines. But I know some wonderful stories about people who are very success stories and people who are very free. But then, that is just a brief allowance by illusory energy. And then down comes the heavy control of the material energy on every single person. whether he's the richest person or the freest person. Time changes his shape. Word Prabhupada says, Rupa Pidaspada. See, someone says, I'm bent out of shape or I'm twisted. So that is actually what time does. It twists you, it bends you. The youthful form is changed by time, ravaged by time, so that the youth is taken away and everything is taken away by time. You cannot enjoy it. Prabhupada would makes a sarcastic remark about the spacemen, how the spacemen, they want to travel, but they can't travel to any planet. They admit also that if they would go to the planets, it would take them, in some cases, thousands of years to get there. And Prabhupada says, and what is the point of that? Because when they come back, there will be no more friends to praise them as great astronauts. So Prabhupada was taking the view that actually the motivation of this is to become famous and come back and everyone will applaud you. Not as popular, these astronauts, they run for political office. But if like Rip Van Winkle, who fell asleep and then he came back, nobody knew him. If they come back and nobody knows them anymore, then what's the sense of going to outer space? Just by that analysis, Prabhupada has shown the big defect in space travel. So this is what time does. It wipes out all your friends. Everyone's dead who you knew. And all the places are gone that you used to inhabit, or the magic has gone out of them. And you are changed. And then finally you die. So it is folly if one just keeps trying to be happy and amuse himself until the end of his life. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has written about this with great, expressing great unhappiness, how in Saranagati, how he wasted his life by not using it to serve Radha Krishna. It slipped by. And it's so easy to let the time go by without applying yourself in Krishna consciousness. The whole life was plotted out by the materialists, by the state, and by astrology, karma, everything. From birth to death, and everything is accounted for with no Krishna consciousness will be in that life. The Prahlad Maharaj has also said, 100 years at most, first 10 years, don't even know how to control yourself, you're just a baby, a child. Then you start playing ball or sports. Then you're interested in chasing girls or boys. Then marry, busy with that, maintaining a household, those years. And of course, half the time is spent sleeping. Then there's a possibility of some time for self-realization. Then at the end, if you don't prosecute it, then it's too late, you're an invalid. So there's very little time left, and one can be just swept along without Krishna consciousness. So we have to never become defeated or depressed by the impositions of rules and regulations of Krishna consciousness and our inability to taste the full happiness of Krishna consciousness. But we should know that whatever Krishna consciousness we have, that is protecting us from the much, much heavier control and changing of our shape, which will be done by Maya, Mama Maya Dhiratyaya, if we were not in the shelter of Krishna consciousness. And that these very rules and regulations are liberating us in this life from so many excesses of disease, of mental madness, and even of exposure to government control and social pressure, occupational rat race. Of course, we should not take the Krishna consciousness as a peaceful shelter from these things, but it is a fact, this is a byproduct in the house that Srila Prabhupada has built. There is, as he said, we give food, we give shelter, what to speak of, eternal life. So even on that even on that platform, that it is peaceful life, it is freedom, but then it's ultimate freedom, that's the main thing. So, once and for all we should know, we are never independent. We are never free of control. So you take it that you'd be controlled by Krishna to practice Krishna consciousness, or you'd be controlled by the material energy. Work at this occupation, or you work for some nonsense person who's under the control of Maya. This is an important reflection, and it's important knowledge that we should know. Some of us have had the experience bitter enough that we're not going again to the material world. Like the boy who stuck his hand in the fire because he wanted to experience it. No one could stop him. So Krishna, he allows us to do what we want. But then if you become burnt, then if Maya again says to you, come on, put your hand in the fire, you say, no, I'm not doing it again. But if you can hear this if you can learn this by hearing, that is good. You don't have to be burnt and burnt. But if one is burnt, and then hears what happened, why he was burnt, and then again, he wants to put his hand in the fire. He's a great fool. To not learn, even after painful experience. Everything is changed and transformed by the time factor, or by the indirect control of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now Prabhupada says that those who are don't know that time is Krishna, they're afraid of time. They're afraid that time will really take everything away. But in Krishna consciousness, we're afraid of time in one sense also, that I may not become advanced enough devotee as I desire, as is required in this lifetime, so that I can go back to Godhead. But we are not afraid that time is going to take away our assets in Krishna consciousness. That kind of fear we don't have. That when time comes, if I'm no longer young, then I won't be able to enjoy. Or when time comes, if I have to die, then everything I work for will be taken away. In one second, time brings its change, and everything one worked for is taken away. How bitter is material life? That's the bitterness that Bhaktivinoda Thakur was crying. Now at the end of my life, I'm crying. I wasted a life. I can't enjoy things anymore. And now I see also that it was a wrong thing. The whole life was bitter in both ways. So it's fearful. It's what they may try to put that fear out of mind, be forgetful, but the fear mahato vayat, it remains. So for the devotee, that fear is not there, because its asset, neha vikramanas dosti patyavayana vidyate. Whatever he's done, it's there. More and more Krishna consciousness, more Krishna consciousness. The more you apply yourself every day to Krishna consciousness, it's gain and gain and gain. And any moment spent away from that is lost, is lost. And you can never gain it back. So this is what it means. That there is cause for fear for a person who does not know how time acts. There's cause for fear. But for the devotee, there is no fear. He simply wants to become more and more Krishna conscious. And he may be afraid, like Prahlad Maharaj said, I'm afraid only of this Maya wheel of karmic reaction. I don't want to be involved in that anymore. That fear is all right. If it keeps us away from the control of Maya and from leaving Krishna consciousness. So, are there any questions?
Similar to that, the Hare Krishna, in the first and sixth chapter, Krishna says, Samaprita, a transcendentalist engaged in auspicious activities, is not meeting with destruction, either in this world or in the spiritual world. One who does good, my friend, is never overcome by evil.
So what's
the nature of that never being overcome by evil? Because it seems like people are overcome by evil when they do leave Krishna consciousness.
Well, yeah. Of course, one meaning is that, like in the other verse, Nyabhikramanastosti, that good that you do, it will never be taken away. Even if you take it that I was a devotee, then I became overcome by evil. But whatever devotional service you did was never overcome. There's a purport in the first canto about that. That if one once tastes the sweetness of the lotus feet of Krishna or performs devotional service sincerely, then he can never be a real materialist. He'll always come back to Krishna. So the non-devotee who was Krishna conscious sincerely can regain that Krishna consciousness again. He doesn't lose whatever he's done. Otherwise, as you say, it's a fact that one can, because we're marginal, he can perform some devotional service in one lifetime and then be overcome again. But I take the meaning to be just that. Whatever he's done, in the next life, he can go on to that again. That devotional service was not overcome. He was not overcome. But he only went so far and then he fell down, yoga brashta. So that's all he was able to do in one lifetime. The devotional service was never lost. But until you become really liberated or fixed up, then we can't appear to completely lose our Krishna consciousness, like we see disciples of Prabhupada who completely gone away, or our own disciples. And so, they again allow themselves to be controlled by time. Rupa Pedas Padam. Their form is changed again from a devotee into a demon. They lose their effulgence, they lose their devotional practices. They come under the control of Kala. We are liberated. And if someone challenges, well, what's the difference? You have a lot of trials and tribulations, and you're trying to get money too. But we're liberated because we're serving Krishna, and you are serving the illusory energy. We have a perfect master for whom we are serving in this world, trying to preach his glories, so it's not easy. Control our senses from our previous bad habits, so it's not easy. But because we're simply doing everything for Krishna, it is already liberated. Jivan mukta. We become free. That we should understand also. But if you're interested in sense gratification, then you ask those questions, even though within the camp of devotional service. Well, how is this liberated? Because how liberated means that you're feeling unhappy, that you're stopped from sense gratification. You don't understand. As if liberation means material version of freedom. But in the material world, you have to fight, you have to struggle to live. Like a schoolboy, he thinks that when school is out for the summer, then he's free. But he can't stay perpetually like that. That's a little respite, a little vacation. Maya gives us a little vacation. But if you think, I want to perpetually take this vacation and not work and not go to school, then the vacation will be over of your boyhood. And then Maya will demand, all right, now, go to work. Have you prepared yourself by school? Do you have a diploma? And then you have to face the struggle for existence. So if one wants to get free of that, then he should practice Krishna consciousness. But that also, you cannot be on vacation from Krishna consciousness. That requires rigorous practice, sadhana. Or else Krishna does not allow us to take advantage of him in the name of devotional service. That's the ultimate feature of time. When Krishna asked Arjuna, who are you? He said, I'm time, and I've come to devour everyone. Everyone will be killed by me, except for the Pandavas. So, yes, that's the feature of time, finally as death. Yes, it can be used as an impetus for Krishna consciousness. That's why, in traditionally in Vedic culture, if at no other time, at least toward the end, one starts to get serious, they know that there will be another life, I'll be judged by my activities, I have to make spiritual advancement. So I've lived so many years, now death is certainly coming closer because of old age is coming. Let me be renounced, let me go to Vrindavan, let me take up self-realization. So the death is an impetus, either at old age or if you're intelligent enough from the very beginning. Prabhupada says, philosophy means to keep death in your front or in front of you. That's real philosophy. A thinking person, thoughtful person, he thinks that death comes to everyone, death will come to me. So it's not just an emotional fear, it's a philosophical reality, fact of life. So one is thoughtful that I will die, certainly. Can I become free of this? And I prepare for this, for the next life, before the death comes. The death is an impetus for the devotee to become Krishna conscious now. Jan Hare Krishna now. While I'm living, not dead, let me use it to chant, to serve. Then he's not afraid that time or death will take away everything. But people are not so philosophical. They're just trying to forget the fear of death and waste their time now. Maya either causes them to struggle, get together your job and your family, and you're just struggling and struggling, or on the other hand, so that you don't despair, so that you go on struggling, Maya gives you television, some music, keep you going, struggling and enjoying, but death is there, and he's afraid. People, they're afraid to think, they're afraid to be alone, they're afraid to face the reality of time and death. They're so afraid of it, they don't even want to consider it. They don't want to consider whether they're afraid of it. When we say everyone is afraid of death, they say no. They don't even want to think about it. So we should use time in a constructive way. Time to serve Krishna. Develop our Krishna consciousness and develop the mission of Krishna consciousness in the time that we are allotted. But we don't feel bad that we have also wasted our time and we're not serious about prosecuting Krishna consciousness.